Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. I am at this very amazing conference. I would like indeed to share various aspects of a paper that I'm currently developing around the idea of ideal sites for research, especially for HIV research and interventions. This is also part of a conversation that we're already having with colleagues here. So I'm very happy because it's another opportunity to really develop further our collective reflection. So we all dealing with what Jean-Pierre Dozon said. We're all dealing with Africa and with this idea of that there are and there used to be and there are new and old sites or laboratories, and we are interested in seeing which logics constitute them: historical, geographical, political, and of course epidemiological and virological logics. I wonder how these sites generate development and which development, and also wonder about the social change that happened through relationships and tensions between biomedical research and public health. I've been working on the National Antiretroviral Program for HIV-positive patients in Botswana, combining different scales of analysis, looking at the micropolitics of care in the hospital, so doing hospital ethnography, to national politics of citizenship, and also global health, meaning drug development and biomedical research. So indeed, Botswana is an exception. Well, we have also a conversation about this, the epistemological statute of exception, but indeed it is an exception. It was once the worst affected country in the world by the HIV epidemic, and it still is one of the worst affected, with more than one on four adults who are HIV positive. And wide access to free medications was made possible through the conjunction of a highly mobilized developmental state that is indeed an exception for its economic development, its social policies that are all based on diamond mines extraction and commercialization. And so this biopolitical state taking care of its citizens and at the intersection of an increasing number of transnational, international actors converging to help this particular African nation threatened to collapse and help the Botswana through mostly through drug donations and funding, and also biomedical and clinical research. In this paper, I explored this configuration further by tracing the origins of the collaboration between the Botswana government and the Harvard School of Public Health in the making of an attractive site. So what started out as primary virological research evolved to encompass public health objective through the access to RV treatment through national institution. And this opened an era of global health, meaning an increasing number of public health programs, medical training, and an ever-expanding number of research opportunities and academic careers. In this paper, rather than describing ethnographically this what I call over-research site, and deliberating about methodological, ethical aspect of this research, I want to think the reciprocal relations and tensions in the making of attractive sites, the logics at play, experimental logics, biopolitical, in, of course, and this particular thing, the site as the intersection between producing knowledge and governing population. So let me first begin by a quotation of an interview with the RV clinic matron in Haborone that I think very well captured why it is interesting to think of a site. She was, of course, complaining about the the number of researchers coming and going and the disturbance that, that she felt. And then she explained, because we have a very high percentage rate of adherence, and also we are a small population, and we also have good monitoring system and record keeping system, so you can do a research, you can also see, and you'll be able to answer your questions. You see, that's the way she was summing up this ideal sites. Of course, demographics, a small population of less than 2 million inhabitants, highly infected by HIV, and a population governed by a regulated and reliable state makes Botswana, I quote, a very conducive site for clinical trials, as put by one clinical investigator in Botswana. So it is also about what I'm trying to explore, that it is also about subjective experience of comfort, of easiness, of accessibility, reliability of data, but also of convenience of the stay in Botswana in a peaceful state that is very stable. So it is clearly this being conducive or conduciveness, I don't know if this is correct, refers to the existence of popular destination as it identified by Adriana Petrina when she explains the global migration of clinical trials to the global south, or countries that are made available for international intervention and scientific inquiry. But this attractiveness, if I am to use this idea further, is not only a global process of experimentality, it is also locally constructed by actors' representations and expectation, as it is clear by this quote of an interview I had with the clinical research coordinator in the Ministry of Health in 2008. She said, I always say, we have the most successful HIV program in the world. This program and the molecular biology, we have samples, we have laboratories, we have scientists, we have all the infrastructure. Do not take our samples away anymore. Come here. So she's clearly referring to the colonial past of samples going away from the sites. But what I'm interested into is to look at this process that I call attractiveness is the way local actors do portray themselves as actively seeking biomedical intervention and by actively willing to locate, localize intervention because it means development. And my hypothesis, what I'm trying to see is that if I can analyze this as the production of incentives or comparative advantages, so clearly to put the analysis on a political, economy level. So let me quickly recall the main milestones of the process of the constitution of these attractive sites. In the paper that I've sent, and maybe I'll share to other conference guests, I have to sum it up. So it's weird, but we have time for questions, I guess. But Botswana became a virological Eldorado in the mid 90s, at the time of what Guillaume Lachenal called the AIDS, the scramble for AIDS viruses in Africa, driven by the quest for the diversity of the HIV virus that was found in Central Africa and that could prove the origin of the AIDS viruses in Africa. A team of virologists in the Harvard School of Public Health in Boston, who previously worked in Senegal around the identification of the HIV-2 virus, started to look downwards in the continent because they were interested in looking more at what the epidemiological crisis in South Africa meant in terms of virological research, and that there were clearly hypotheses around a different kind of virus there, and this is called the HIV-1C virus that is prevalent in southern Africa. So they started to look at the southern African region and to Botswana, where they could get access through business connections with political elites, direct connection between top U.S. university leaders and Botswana diamond and political elites. So this started a quite small virological research collaboration. But very quickly, this was an important direction is taken by the Botswana government, who offered to build a bigger laboratory, a state-of-the-art laboratory, and this laboratory will start to structure and expand biomedical collaboration. And I think this is very important because it puts Botswana states at the center of the stage, and especially showing how the resources and the capacities that the state can mobilize. And it started as also a history of mutual respect between top U.S. scientists and the Botswana states, and a history also of reciprocal fascination about what one can do. But maybe more importantly, it marks a fundamental switch towards public health programs in a changing international context, because around the year 2000, and following biomedical controversies, and also thanks to transnational mobilization, it was no longer possible to do only biomedical research on HIV in Africa and not to be involved in some kind of program to make ARV accessible for patients that were dying at an incredibly high pace. And more so, this shift meant that making ARV accessible for African patients has shifted from a problematic burden to a scientific, very competitive subject. So I'm quoting the director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease, NIAID, Antonio Fauci, in the year 2000, when this particular shift happened, he said, "When it moves that rapidly, there are many things you can do about it." So, because the epidemic was so dramatic, then that's when you can study it and do things about it. So it's when research and public health, I think, really were fitting well together. And of course, the Harvard School of Public Health had a tremendous role in helping Botswana government to quick start the national treatment program, and it was paralleled with the start of big clinical trial of surveillance of adherence and toxicities, etc. So ARV access was made available through clinical research. As in many other African countries, in Senegal in particular. And then the last thing I want to say about this collaboration is that Harvard researcher catalyzed international partners to help fund and implement the national treatment program. And it's they, for example, big pharma that were at that time willing to do something about AIDS in Africa, and there were all the big pharmaceutical companies were starting programs to make drugs accessible, and everybody was willing to make a significant difference in front of AIDS. So the Merck Company Foundation and the Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that was quite young at that time, meet each other and decided that they were starting a program together, and they chose Botswana because it was small enough but highly infected, and it was reliable, etc. And so I think it's very important the way, you know, one African country is chosen, but not the other. And this wasn't only one intervention that they did. They did not replicate that that program of drug donations and funding. So the decade in the year 2000 is the decade of the scale up. So the decade of acceleration of training programs, research programs of global health. Well, let's say. But at the end of the 2000 decade. With the economic crisis and the funding crisis, there was a need for the Botswana state to diversify from diamond industry, and this has led economists and the political elite to start thinking of developing several hubs and innovation hubs. And this is when Botswana leaders decided that they should develop a way of attracting even more investments and develop models of having investments in the virological research or in the health sector. Okay, I don't know if I have time.
Deux, trois minutes, oui, je vois.
Deux, trois?
Quatre, peut-être, je sais pas. J'ai pris combien de temps, moi?
Okay, so I wanted to quote someone in the Ministry of Health who was one person actively involved in making this collaboration, but who is also being quite critical about expanding that even more as a tool of economic growth and diversification from diamonds, etc. But I'll quote him later if we have time. I just want to finish by sharing a few proposition or question. First of all, I am very happy to be with Jean-Pierre Dozon because it was very inspiring me for this idea of attraction, because he's written an article in 1991. that was called in French d'un tombeau l'autre, from one grave to another, I think. And I'm going to explain in a while, but this is important for me because it's a way of, first of all, he's historicizing what I'm trying to say, and historicization, and also I'm trying to establish the link with more ideas about contemporary African political economies. So if I can refer to what you were saying in introduction, it is true that there is a historical trend of medical research in Africa around the constitution of sites, and I think that lies at the junction of two or three things. First is the densification of research around the site, of course, and a focus or a specialization around one pathology or two. But the paper that we want to have on Gambia was very interesting for that, because it's it was really the history of the specialization around malaria research in the Gambia, and also to think that in these processes, public health and research are most often associated. It is never completely disconnected. This said, so my aim is to try to extend on Jean-Pierre Dozon's article. What he says, it proposed to read from the metaphoric white man's grave of the colonial penetration and conquest. He situates the relationships between Africa and the West in a double bind of attraction repulsion. At the time of colonial conquest, Africa was a place of uncertainty, death, and disease for the white soldier. But with colonial settlement, the continent was progressively reshaped as a place of discoveries, of opportunities for this triumphant medicine and this laboratory institute that you were presenting in introduction, especially in the 1930s, for British and French alike. And according to you, it was uninterrupted until the post-independent faith in development, biomedicine, scientific progress, and the promises of development. And this phase will have lasted until the apparition of the AIDS disease in the first years and in the 80s, that Africa was back to this image of death and complete therapeutic powerlessness. So maybe you can see that the idea of my paper is to try to see if we can say that in a time of global health, with its emphasis on opportunities, the technological fix, the magic bullets, and massive investments, and with some sites that are increasingly attractive for biomedical intervention, I think we kind of are back to this attraction phase where of massive investments and of course with a lot of questions around this. And what I've tried to do is to read this together with Botswana political elite desire for biomedical research and in this neoliberal world in crisis, to think of how countries are maybe compelled or actively trying to create wealth by tapping new kinds of material, bioeconomy, for instance. So, and I think to finish, that this is also interesting to think this with, there's what I call, I don't know if this is the world, but a business discourse of opportunity and economic investment in Africa. And so I think more research needs to be done to explore these particular linkages and the way global health and the way also portraying Africa as a continent full of opportunities, including for health. Recently, French newspaper Libération published an editorial in July from African leaders of the African Union or UNAIDS, entitled "Health in Africa: A Sector with a Very High Return on Investment." So it's very clearly portraying Africa as a continent of investment, but not, you know, healthcare, basic, primary healthcare, etc., is completely disappearing from the picture. And of course, in an era of mass treatment and biomedical prevention and continuing ever bigger biomedical research and number of African patients under treatment, there are many this raises many questions and tensions around resources. And so to finish, I'm quoting the former national research coordinator that I quote in the introduction, because she's been too critical and she's been dismissed. And now in a recent email exchange she said, I quote, "What started out as a win-win has turned into a disaster waiting to happen. Already we know that Botswana cannot afford to sustain the treatment program long-term. PEPFAR is ending quickly. Gates completely stopped funding last year. One way Botswana can get serious support is by signing on combination prevention trials now, with no financial guarantees of support for those placed on treatment after the trial. This trial is taking place on top of a weak and burnt-out healthcare system that is already ready to collapse. No one really wants to talk about this." So I found interesting that someone who was previously in charge of advocating for bioethics and a form of implementation of bioethical standard is now clearly defending a more ethics of public health. And she ends the email by saying, "What was ethical at the beginning of the program by way of global health support may not be as ethical given the current circumstances." So I think, this raises a lot of questions about the sites, and as we already said in other conversation about the blind spots and what's being obscured by those focus on research, including for us as academics. Well, thank you.
Merci beaucoup.